It's time now for Gina Gardner and Friends, the show that shares stories from inspiring people, from a wide range of expert guests, all focused on helping you live a happier, more successful, and fulfilling life. Gina Gardner is a multiple number one international best-selling author, motivational speaker, business coach, and trainer. She's the founder of Genuinely You and has over 30 years' experience of helping people step into their genuine, authentic power, personally and professionally.
Matthew.
Huh? Oh, sorry.
It's okay. I just need you to listen to me.
I know that a lot of times, Mom, it might not seem like I'm listening to you, but I am. I hear you. And what you say really does matter to me.
I mean, let's be honest. No kid likes rules, but I get why we have them. I hear you, and I know it's because you care.
All the talks we've had over the years, including what you've told me about not using alcohol and other drugs, they stick with me. And believe it or not, they really do make a difference, especially at times that matter most.
Hey, want a drink?
No thanks, I'm good. So thank you, Dad, for talking and preparing me for what's ahead.
Thanks, Mom, for never giving up and always being my biggest fan.
Thank you for letting me know what you expect, so I can try to meet your expectations.
Thank you for talking.
For more information about talking with your kids about underage use of alcohol and other drugs, visit underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
And now, here's your host, Gina Gardner.
Hello there, and a huge welcome to this week's episode of Gina Gardner and Friends. And today I am joined by a lovely lady. Her name is Anna Rodriguez. She's an author. She is working currently with her partner, Owen, on helping people be financially empowered. But at the moment, she also has her thing. And that is Empowered Supernova. And it's working with feminine energy, helping people step into their power. And the theme of today's show is claiming back your personal power. And lots of people give away their power in all sorts of ways. So, Anna, a huge welcome to the show. Thank you so much for joining me.
Oh, thank you so much, Gina. It's a blessing to be here and a great honor. So thank you very much.
Oh, it's just a pleasure. So before we get started on our theme, and actually I think that your story will demonstrate why claiming back your power is the theme. Tell us your story. How did you come to be here?
it's a long story, as you say, but when you look backwards, then everything makes sense and you understand, hey, that's what brought me to this point exactly. And even though that experience was so dreadful at that moment and I didn't know how to deal with it, and then the next one and then the next one, they were necessary for me to get here. Yes. Because how can we learn what light is unless we have experienced darkness and the other way around? That's how I think anyway, that's my belief. That we get to experience the opposite of what we need to learn. However, this opposite is how we see this 3D world, so to speak, a world of opposites, of black and white, or tall and high, and bad and good. But well, you know what I've done, Gina? I've put, rather than on the sides, good and bad, I place them one on top of each other. What if good is 100% of something and what we call bad is just between 0 and 10% of the same something? Then you would have just one quality, more or less of it. And
that's
when you
a very look at interesting things, perspective, isn't it?
When you look at things vertical, then it's one of the same thing. And we are closer to this oneness that so many people talk about. So we are all one, we're all one. Yeah, but Gina is there behind her computer screen and I'm here behind my computer screen. What about this, we are all one? Well, because what we do and what we think affects everybody and everything in a ripple effect. Yeah, that's the oneness. However, you have your own experiences, I have my own experiences, and all those experiences add to the pot.
I think that's a really interesting concept, which I'd like to explore. But I want to just go back to this idea that the negative, the what we perceive as negative, is part of the positive. Because I think that's something that some people will find quite hard to wrap their heads around, particularly if they're going through what they see as a dark, difficult patch. My way of looking at it is that out of the challenge, out of the darkness, if you like, is our opportunity to learn. And so there is a really positive aspect to whatever's going on in terms of, can we learn from this? Where's the gift in the challenge, the difficulty? And even when it seems really desperate, there will be things that you can learn. And there's always a gift if you look for it, even if that gift is, I know I can survive. So talk us through how, perhaps give us an example of your own life experience where you've been able to see that the darkness is actually part of the light.
Thank you very much for this opportunity. I'm actually finishing now. Well, I'm finishing the translation of my last book, which is well, I only have a working title, but it's about narcissism. Mm-hmm. And it's specially dedicated to the daughters of narcissistic mothers. And it's passion with compassion. Passion doesn't mean always, oh, I'm passionate about this movie and I'm going to see it 3 times or 10 times. Passion is also suffering. Yeah. The passion of Jesus going to that hill with the cross on top, that was his passion, right? So yeah. Passion is also pain and suffering. So it's something that takes you somewhere with pain. But then with compassion, which is a play in words, I mean, that yeah. looked for. I learned about narcissism a few years ago. I'm 57 right now, 57 in a week.
And you look pretty good.
Oh, makeup is fantastic, isn't it?
Oh, I just love it, don't you?
Yeah. And makeup. And it was only well in my 50s that I knew about narcissism. The story goes like this. I lived with my mother, and my father was an alcoholic, which we only discovered when my mother was in her 40s. So I was still young, but I was like 10, 12. I didn't know before. And it was a big, shameful thing to have at home, an alcoholic. Imagine that.
Yes.
So my mother was, for me, my mother, my father, my companion. My sister got married when I was only 6. She left home. So it was just the two of us, really, like a team. Yes. And she made me believe that she was the best mother ever. And everything had to be supervised by her because she knew better than anybody else.
Right.
And I believed that, Gina. I believed it because that was my imprint.
How would before you know anything else at that age?
Actually, before 7, anything they tell you, you believe it.
Yeah.
It's like the dairy fairy, what you call it, the guy with the teeth that comes to give you a coin when you drop it.
Oh, the tooth fairy.
Yeah, for us in Spain, it's a little mouse, actually. It's not a fairy.
Okay.
You just believe it because we have no filters. Our brain is not furnished for having filters. So we just believe everything.
Yes.
And then believe it and believe it. And then it's about surviving. You learn, if I do this, then my mother this. Unless I behave this way, she won't whatever. She won't. But deep down is she won't love me. And if she doesn't love me, nobody else is going to love me because she's told me many times, she's the person who loves me more in the world. So if she doesn't, nobody else is going to love me. I need to be able to be worthy of her love. And for that reason, I'm going to do things this way. I'm going to think this way. I'm going to take these options. I'm going to devise my life around another person who's going to command what's good and what's bad and what's wrong and what's correct. So that was a huge giveaway of my power, huge. But I was the fish in the water and I couldn't see the water. I just thought it was the way it was. That's the way it was. But it was when my first son was born. I was 34 and he's 22 now. So mm-hmm. a few years ago in 2000, it was in year 2000. And then I saw that little bundle and I thought, I cannot afford putting all my shit and all my stuff on top of him. I'm going to commit to this child and then to the next one who was born 2 years later to create a safe space for him to be who he is, whatever that is. Whatever his essence is, I'm going to honor that essence and I'm going to allow him to be whatever that is. And I'm going to love this child unconditionally. But I didn't have a clue because I was not brought up like that. Quite the opposite. So that's where, you see, I was brought up in the darkness, so to speak. And then I wanted to rear children in the light. And that's where I put it together in vertical. And I said, okay, what did I learn from my mother? This. I'm going to do the opposite.
You know, I think so often we learn from a negative example. I have to say, a lot of my work is around leadership. Lead yourself first, and then you can lead others effectively and do it with integrity, compassion, and courage. But I learned from two leaders who were grim. They were awful. You know, how not to do it in a box. And that's what you're talking about. We've got to go to a quick break. There's so much for us to explore when we come back. Please don't go away. All of us have the capacity to take back our power, however challenging things have been. So please don't go away. We're going to share all of the experience and expertise of Anna when we come back.
Last week, Brandon met a girl on a dating app. One day after work, he finally found the courage to ask her out. No answer. He started to panic. Was he being too pushy? Maybe it was too...
Hey, sorry I didn't respond. I was driving. I would love to go on a date. How does tonight sound?
Brandon tried to play it cool, but inside he knew. A girl so smart, so responsible. She must be a keeper.
When the forgotten poor are suffering and in need of healing... They wait for a ship unlike any other. Mercy Ships, the largest floating civilian hospital in the world, with volunteer medical staff and crew who donate their time to save lives. Heroes of mercy, like these.
Every human being has the right to be treated as human, to have a place at the table of the human race.
If you could just see the look in that patient's eyes or the smiles that you get when lives have been changed, then it would make it all worth it.
We bring hope and healing to one person, but that person belongs to a family, and that family belongs to a community.
Together, these heroes of mercy and friends like you bring hope and healing to those who desperately need it.
Thank you!
Thank you!
To learn more about Heroes of Mercy, go to mercyships.org today.
Welcome back. Anna, before the break, you shared with us the fact that you wanted something very different for your child than you had experienced as a child yourself. And we, you know, talked about the fact that children don't have anything else to compare what's going on with. And so they assume that that's how it should be.
And our brains work that way. We are in an alpha state or even lower, which means that anything that comes through with no filters, and we just believe it. So we are in a hypnotic trance, if you will, until the age of approximately 7.
Well, who is it the Jesuits used to say, give me the child to the age of 7 and I'll give you the man? And I think we condition children just by the very way in which we show up moment by moment. Children take messages from that, don't they? Which they very often hold on to the whole of their life.
Exactly, because the best way to teach a child, in my opinion, is by example, to lead by example. And because I didn't have this role model of how to love a human being unconditionally, everything was conditional and always walking on eggshells, then I had to study a lot. Yeah. I started from nothing. It's like, where do I start? But then when you have the desire, when the teacher, when the pupil is ready, the teacher will appear. So when you have the desire, something is going to come to you. All you have to do is, hey, I've been given this clue, I'm going to follow it. And then I will find the next crumb, and then the next crumb, and then the next crumb. And it's not only about reading and listening to the videos and saying, oh, this is magnificent. It's about how can I apply that to me in a work that makes sense?
You know, that's a very, very important point. So many people think that reading the book or going on the course or going to a coaching session is the cure, is the way forward. They're just the catalyst, and they are incredibly helpful, but only if you take the learning and you make it your own. You know, people can't teach you, can they? You have to pick it yourself. And it's easier if people give you the tools and the support and the encouragement and sometimes the challenge, but ultimately you have to do it yourself.
Exactly, exactly. And also in a way that makes sense to you.
Yes.
I fully agree on pushing yourself a bit more, because otherwise you get nowhere. It's like trying to grow muscle, lifting a pen. I mean, you're going to go nowhere. You need to lift something heavy. Otherwise, forget it. You're not going to grow that muscle. So this is the same thing. However, the fact that somebody up on a stage said, if you follow these 20 steps, you will get to where I am. Well, maybe, maybe not. That's what served him or her. But we need to have the common sense to apply to ourselves. So, yes, bring the muscle, but in a way that we won't just give up because it's too much or it's unattainable. That's my point of view anyway.
I think it's a very sensible point of view. Certainly when I'm working with clients, you know, I will say it's much more about holding up the mirror and saying, recognize this pattern. Can you see what you're up to and what impact is it having? Is it having the impact that you want it to do? Because if it's not, it's time to change the pattern. And that could be your pattern of thinking, your pattern of beliefs, your pattern of language, your pattern of behavior. And all of those things are what...
And all of the above.
I'm really interested, you know, here you have your first child. What's their name?
Jaime. Jaime is like James.
Oh, okay. So you have Jaime and James. You have this little bundle, and you make the decision that you want to do things differently to your mum. What for you were the things that, beyond anything else, you were determined that the behaviours that you created with James and for James were going to make the difference? What were the things that made the difference, that made the difference, I think is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, it was the unconditional love, Gina. That's all. Unconditional means that, no conditions. So it's not if, then, no if, thens. I love you. I said it to him so many times and to his brother, Mario, that's easy to pronounce. So many times. I love you guys, whatever you, but separately, never in a bunch. They are individuals. So I love you, Jaime, or I love you, Mario. I love you no matter what. Whatever you do, I love you. That doesn't mean that what you do, I would like. It doesn't mean that I would do it myself. But I understand that this is what you need to go through. I'm not going to say you need to make your own mistakes. No, you need to go through your own path. It's not a mistake. Your life is not a mistake. It's just your own path. And as they were growing, their father and I, we always gave them as much freedom as they could handle. They had the freedom to choose the things that they could choose. Whatever was endangering their life, no. We're crossing the road, you're holding my hand, that's non-negotiable.
Yeah.
No, exactly. But do you want to wear sandals and a t-shirt in the middle of the winter to school and it's snowing? It's up to you.
I was a principal or a head teacher for over 20 years. And I would have many parents come and say, I don't know what to do. You know, my children are behaving badly or they're not doing what I want. And I would say to them, you know, look at the pattern of what you're doing. What are the things that are non-negotiable? Mm-hmm. If they're non-negotiable, then the children need to understand they're non-negotiable and why they're non-negotiable. Unconditional love, I think, is something that many people struggle with. They see love as a barter. I'll give you attention. I'll give you what you want. I'll allow you to do something if you give me something in return.
Exactly. But
I also think that there's a misconception around unconditional love, which is, if I love children, my child unconditionally, then they can do what they like, they can behave how they like, and that's unconditional love. And I think my view, and I'd be interested, I'll just ask the question and then we'll explore it after the break. I believe that when you love someone conditionally, you have high standards for them. And so if they're behaving in a way that is not of their best, it's important to let them know and say, but I think so much more of you. You are capable of more. you know, that's it's your choice, but the choice has consequences. And ultimately, if you behave in that way, these are the consequences. But it is your choice, and I believe you are capable of more than you are actually being or doing at the time.
Yeah. So it's holding the space for them to have their vision of that vision of themselves, of the best they can be.
Yes.
But they are children as well, and they're going to do foolish things in our eyes, not in their eyes, in our eyes. And going back to the question that those parents were asking you, I don't know what to do with my children. They don't do what I want them to do. That's a problem. That's a problem. It's not allowing them to be.
I agree.
Not giving them the credit of knowing things that we don't know. And we haven't figured out, even though our age is twice their age or three times their age. Being older doesn't mean that we know the answers. Sorry, I get some passion.
We're going to have to go for a short break. And there's so much to talk about. We're going to explore that after the break. So please don't go away.
Do you want lovely, beautiful skin
Yes.
that makes others look at you with envy?
Yes.
Well, I have a secret to tell you. I'm Dr. Alan Leica, and in my former career, I was a leading cosmetic dermatologist, and I stumbled across an amazing set of creams. They are called Cloud Creams, made by Canadian dermatologist Gordon Telfort. These creams make your skincare as easy 1, 2, 3 because they are based on vitamins A, B, and D. Use them daily and your skin will take on a new youthful appearance. My patient's skin was lighter, brighter, and tighter. Gordon and I are so convinced you will love them. Gordon is prepared to offer you a double your money back, no questions asked guarantee. Get yours today. Go to cloudvitamincream.com and get started. Tell them Dr. Leica sent you.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Before the break, we were talking about unconditional love and whether or not when somebody doesn't do what you want, you know, is that your issue that they don't not doing what you want? Or is it a learning point for particularly for children, that what they're doing has consequences that perhaps they've not recognized yet? And I think we have to, for me, this is all age appropriate. And, you know, the conversation that you have with an 8-year-old is going to be very different at times to the conversation you have with an 18-year-old or your 38-year-old son, if you know, because you're still their parent, whatever their age may be. So what's your advice to parents when they are faced with something that they don't like, not life-threatening, but a behavior or a way of being that I'm sure there were plenty of times when your two boys came up with something and you thought, oh, I don't like that. What was your approach, and what approach would you advise to parents?
Well, there's always a time and a space to do and to say certain things.
Okay.
I'm perfectly okay with my children telling me, I don't like this about you, or I don't like that you said this to me, or that you treated me this way. I'm perfectly okay with that. But there's a space to say that. That's not to be said in the middle of a meal with 20 other people and screaming. Okay, that's not the way to do it. But in the middle of that meal, they take me away and then you say, listen, remember this? I don't like this, or I didn't like it, or that didn't make me suffer, or whatever it is. I listen to it. And then sometimes I would say, you're perfectly right, I'm sorry. Some of the times is, I was not aware of this, whichever the case may be. But do it in a relaxed way, not in the middle of the confrontation. Another thing is that because we're older, that doesn't mean that we're right. That doesn't mean that. Wisdom doesn't come with age. It doesn't. It comes with experience, with humbleness, with developing as a person, but not just with age. It doesn't. So that's number two. And trust them. If we trust our children, they will trust us, and they know that they are safe with us, and they will come when they have bigger issues in their life. Dressing one thing or another, or shaving their brother's hair or sister's hair is one thing, but then other issues that would have more of an influence in their life, they would feel confident to come with us. So, but we need to grow that trust over time. Yeah, it's not about them doing what we want. And it's not about them going wild. But we would have taught them by example all the time, Gina. Remember that. Yeah. Since they were young. And when we screwed it, we'll go to them and say, oh, you know that I said? I'm so sorry. I was thinking of that other thing. I was not present for you. I was whatever. Just recognize, open it, be vulnerable with them, because then they would understand everything ever since they were children, that there's a time for them to play. If you're working and you're up to here, rather than give them a scream, just tell them, listen, honey, when the clock gets here, when the whatever it is, or when this goes off, when this alarm goes off, I'll go with you. But right now, I need to do something different. Then they would know I will have my mom, my dad's attention when the alarm goes off. And then they will be there for me 100%. That's so important, to be with them 100% and not bring all the things that we have behind.
I think being present, truly present, is a real issue. You know, you often see children these days with parents who are on their phone. I was in a restaurant recently, and there was a family of three, and all of them were on the phone. There was no conversation. Nobody was physically present, even though their bodies were there. And it seemed to me so sad. But the other thing I want to bring up just before we come to the end of the show, really, is that keeping your word. And I'd say, you know, whether you're talking about parents or partners, if you say you're going to do something, then do it. If you threaten something, only threaten. Parents are very good saying, if you do that again, I'll ground you for 57 years. And of course, the children know that they're not going to.
Exactly.
So keep your word. That make no mean no. And finally, where can people find you?
If you go to Instagram, you can find me as Empowered Supernova. Empowered Supernova. And Facebook as well. Twitter, that's the one that I use the least. And on LinkedIn, you would see a much, much bigger profile. Everything is there.
So, Ana Rodriguez Garcia, thank you so much for being my guest on the show. Thank you for listening. Remember, for all of the listeners, we donate meals based on the number of people who are listening. So please do listen in. Thanks so much for joining us today, and please join us on the next show.
Thanks for listening to Gina Gardner and Friends, the show that helps you live a happier, more successful, and fulfilling life. To learn more about Gina Gardner, go to genuinely-you.com. If you would like to work with Gina or book her as a speaker, email her at gina@genuinely-you.com.